Top Homeschool CPA is my website, and I am a CPA, Certified Public Accountant, who helps homeschool organizations. And this spring, this has been the spring of 2017, flowing into the summer, I have been working on a new resource for homeschool groups, particularly homeschool nonprofits, and that is a board member manual. This is something I have been thinking about for a long time because I would hear from so many board members that when they took over membership or leading the board, they didn't have some important papers and they didn't always know the history of their organization. And they really felt lost and confused. And we would try to understand what, you know, how their groups were formed and legally and things like that. So I am putting together this board member manual to help you. And the podcast today, I'm going to talk about one very important section of this board member manual that you can either buy the template from me over at homeschoolcpa.com, or you can assemble one yourself. But my template makes sure that, you know, you have the important things you need. And one of the most important things you need are the legal documents that go to the formation of your homeschool group. So let me talk about what kind of documents you should be carrying around in this binder. And this binder should be something that gets passed down to future board members. There should be multiple copies of this binder, at least three. The president, or sometimes called the chairman of the board, should have a copy of these important legal documents all put in a binder, probably laminated. Laminate some of these documents. The secretary and the treasurer, those three officers, should all have copies of these important legal documents. If you have a vice chair or vice president, same kind of thing, they should also have a copy. And usually it is the secretary who assembles this board manual. And because the secretary is kind of the keeper of important papers, she keeps the minutes of meetings and she keeps important papers. So it's kind of her job to organize this board binder. I've written a lot of books that are addressing homeschool treasurers. As a matter of fact, one of my books called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization, I subtitle A Guide for Treasurers. This board member manual, I could probably call A Guide for Secretaries, your board secretary. This is her baby. This is her job to manage. But let's get into it. I'm going to talk to you about what important documents you need to assemble and keep in this binder. And the first important document would probably be a letter that you got from the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, when you went and applied for an employer identification number, an EIN. If you don't have that important document, then maybe do you know what your employer identification number is? You need one now to open up a bank account. So if you don't know what your employer identification number is, go to the bank and say, what is the employer identification number associated with this account? That's as good as it's going to get, and that's all you're going to know. Obviously, it would be much better if you had that IRS letter because it will have a date of when that employer identification number was assigned. It will have your official legal name of, well, the official name, what the IRS knows you as. You should check to see if that's your legal name. We'll get to that in a minute. But then it also gives a little explanation about what the IRS thinks you are. Do they think that you're a for-profit business? Do they think that you're not-for-profit? Do they understand you as the way you understand you? So that letter assigning your employer identification number, your EIN, is very important. And again, I think you should have several copies of it. I think they should be laminated. They should be stored in the binder. They should probably be stored electronically somewhere, several places as well, and maybe even somebody keep it in a safe or a safe deposit box. It's that important. The other important document is your formation document. The IRS will call it your organizing document, and that's one of two different documents. Either it's articles of incorporation, if your organization is formed as a nonprofit corporation in your state, or articles of association, if you are not a nonprofit corporation in your state, meaning by default you would be an unincorporated association. But either way, you should have one of those two documents. The articles of incorporation are typically a form you fill out with your state, the Secretary of State, saying, I want to form a nonprofit corporation. I've got some articles on my website about the advantages of forming a nonprofit corporation. And you can go find those over at homeschoolcpa.com/ I think let's call it slash samples. I think you'll find it there. Slash articles. Sorry. homeschoolcpa.com/articles. And you'll find some helpful articles about the advantages of becoming a nonprofit corporation. And you do that with your Secretary of State at your state level. And you do that by filing a form or something that's called Articles of Incorporation. The paper you get back from the state, you might get a nice official certificate, but that you should get back copies of exactly what you sent them. That's very important because you want to know, what did I file with the state? This is like filing for, you know, a marriage license or a driver's license or something official with the state. This is what creates your nonprofit corporation, okay, this document. And you want to have an exact copy of what was filed with the state because that's what is made you an official nonprofit corporation, to be exact. If you're not a nonprofit corporation in your state, you choose to stay an unincorporated association, you can do that. You can run as just a group of people who form an association. You probably ought to at least have articles of association. Now, if you want to see some samples of those, head on over to my website, homeschoolcpa.com/samples. And there you can find samples of articles of incorporation for homeschool groups or articles of association if you don't want to or have not yet formed a corporation. But either way, the articles of association do not typically get filed with the state. They're usually just a document that stays internal to you guys. But you still ought to create it, sign it, date it, pass it down so that future leaders know, well, this is what we did when we formed this organization. And it will say things like, this is our purpose. These are the dates we were formed. They're actually quite short. That's about all you put on it. This is our purpose. Do we have members? That's about it. Okay, but it is an official document that creates your organization. If you have to change the articles of incorporation or the articles of association, you would call that amending them, meaning changing them. And if you have made any amendments to your articles of incorporation, make sure you file those in your board binder as well. And here's the number one reason why articles need to be amended. A lot of nonprofits will file their paperwork with the state, simply fill out the state form. That's fine. That made the state happy. You're formed as a nonprofit corporation in your state. But what you didn't realize is that you probably want tax-exempt status from the IRS, and you want to become what's called a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. Well, your state might not require it, but the IRS requires particular language to be added to your organizing document, that articles of incorporation that you filed with the state. So I run into this a lot, but organizations simply fill out their state forms, get incorporated as a nonprofit corporation in their state, but fail to include the language that the IRS requires. Because to be blunt, to be frank, the states don't care about this additional language, only the IRS cares. And you care because you want tax-exempt status from the IRS. So a lot of times organizations have to go amend their articles, add on this IRS language. And this IRS language is stating clearly what your purpose is. It has to be in accordance with some stuff that the IRS gives 501c3 status to. By the way, you don't come up with this language. The IRS has it. And if you go to my website, homeschoolcpa.com/samples, you will find exactly word for word the language the IRS wants you to have in your articles of incorporation. And stuff like your purpose, stuff about what things you're not allowed to do as a 501c3, and basically what happens to the money when you dissolve. Okay. So far, for legal documents, I have covered what's very important to keep in a board binder is your letter from the IRS assigning you employer identification number, your founding document called the Articles of Incorporation or Articles of Association if you're not a nonprofit corporation, and any amendments to that. And also, if you go do apply for 501c3 tax-exempt status with the IRS, you will get back a nice letter. The IRS calls it's their determination letter, because they start by saying, we have determined you are eligible for tax-exempt status as a 501c3 or other type of 501, okay, 501c7 is the other type of, that's a social club status. And you'll get the same thing If you apply for the IRS for tax exempt status, you get a nice letter back saying, we've determined you're tax exempt. That letter, ladies and gentlemen, is super duper, super, super important. And the IRS even says, we're not giving you another one. So make lots of copies of that IRS determination letter. Laminate some of them. Take photos of it. Scan it. Have multiple copies of this thing, okay? It should not be just one version floating around. It's important because your state will want a copy of that so that they can give you a tax-exempt status from your state income tax. If you want to participate in certain things like discounts or even box tops for education, now want to see a letter of this official determination letter from the IRS. Okay, it is like the good housekeeping seal of approval. I don't know if that might be dating me to say that, but it is like a stamp of approval that the IRS gives you this letter and says, yep, you're a 501c3. Okay, so those are the most important legal documents that you need. Now, you may be wondering, now Carol, I didn't hear you mention bylaws. Bylaws. Bylaws are not quite, well, they're kind of legal documents. They're more of an internal document that you use to say how your organization will be run. How about if I cover that in another episode? What things need to go in your bylaws? I'm going to cover that in another podcast. For now, I think I listed four really important documents to have in your board binder are the EIN letter from the IRS, your articles of incorporation as filed with the state, any amendments to those articles that you had to have done, and the IRS determination letter saying you are 501c3 tax exempt. You also might want to throw in there anything you officially get back from your state saying, yes, now you have state income tax exemption. Maybe you were granted sales tax exemption by your state. You have to typically give them a letter, copy of the IRS letter to get that, but you might want to put that in there. These are official correspondence from your state saying we are exempt. A lot of times the states, especially the estate attorney general's office, has oversight of charitable donations and charitable solicitations, meaning if you go ask for donations or ask for money as a tax-exempt organization, you may have to register with your state attorney general. You may also want to put in these legal documents any licenses, vendor licenses, if you sell things, or any permits. You have a zoning permit, or if you had to get a daycare license because you were, you know, basically kind of running a daycare, put all those documents in this section of your board binder as well. They're all basically important correspondence from your state, federal, or local governments. Okay, now, if you're unclear about anything I just said, they're like, what, daycare, what, charitable solicitations, what, donations? I know that's a lot to absorb. Head on over to homeschoolcpa.com. Go to the blog, go to the search box, and type in any phrase that you want to learn more about. And if that's not enough, you can certainly check out some of my books over at homeschoolcpa.com as well. I've got books about the IRS and tax-exempt status. You might have questions about that. I've got books about managing money and books about running a homeschool co-op. So those might all be very helpful to you. Oh, and another new one about paying work. And if you can't find what you need via my website or the books, well, then you can certainly set up a phone call with me. Head on over to homeschoolcpa.com, go to the contact page, and connect with me via email, and we can talk about any questions you have about how your organization is set up, what legal documents you need to have in place. If you're missing something, we can try to figure out how to get a missing document for you. Or maybe you have never filed for nonprofit incorporation in your state, or maybe you have never filed for tax-exempt status, which means, yikes, you're supposed to be paying taxes. Well, we don't want that. So let's see what we can get done. Again, this is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com, helping you run your homeschool organization and stay organized. Look for my homeschool board member manual to help you run your board better and help you stay legal. Thanks for listening. I hope this was helpful.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.